This is Rich Moore. I'm the director of this episode.
This is Mike Reese. I'm one of the writers on this episode.
Al Jean, also a writer, producer.
I can't even read that.
I didn't see Elvis.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then there were a lot of Elvis sightings.
And that's before Burns and Smithers were in the control room in that Homer shot.
Do you have any guess? It's always a standard Simpsons trivia of what the number is on the scanner, on the price scanner in the supermarket.
I think it was just Greeking.
Oh, no, really? Somebody told me there's an amount, like $836.
Oh,
whatever, the joke is that it's not very much for a human being.
What I heard, too,
was that Jim Brooks, again, took a lot of attention to what the figure would be and felt, oh, we've hit the perfect number. It was probably...
Today it's much higher, of course.
I think it's the residual check we get for the episode when it airs.
Well, you guys.
I didn't know that. So directors do not get residuals on this?
This part's funny.
Well...
This is episode 7G07, The Telltale Head, and of interest in this episode is the fact that it's told in a flashback structure. We start towards the end of the story and then recap what happened to lead up to it. And the reason that's so is because basically at every table reading or animatic screen we had this episode, it always started really funny with big laughs and petered out. So we sort of said, why don't we just put the end at the beginning and then it'll kind of even out the laughs.
Hey, it's good. At what point did that happen? I feel
it happened at the color screening.
Okay, because I remember watching the episode at home, you know, being one of the writers on the script and saying, what happened here?
No, it happened at the color screening.
I was as surprised as any viewer to see this whole thing happen.
And this is one of the only shows, I think, that had the actual title before the credits.
Yeah, there was a debate over where to start the story, at what point towards the end, and Matt had wanted to start it when Homer and Bart were trapped inside the statue. We wound up going with it when the crowd was chasing them. It seemed like an exciting opening.
This was the first thing I ever directed, and it shows.
This was the first appearance, I believe, of Jebediah Springfield, the joke being that Springfield is not usually a last name. And, you know, we invented the mythology for him and the story of the founding of the town.
I think there's a lot of first appearances of a lot of characters in this one.
Yeah.
I think Lovejoy, this is the first time he appeared.
Jimbo Dolphin Kearney, yep. I think it's their first.
Those guys.
Diamond Joe Quimby.
I believe Apu, too, I think.
Yep.
This is the first one with Apu.
23 minutes and 5 seconds is about the length of an episode. Sort of an inside joke there.
And is all of this built animation? Was this all as opposed to recommissioned new
footage? No, I think we did some new stuff for the wraparound. Yeah, this is where the episode originally started.
Let's go, Homer.
But you don't understand, Marge. I have $50 riding on this.
I believe this was the first time we actually saw the family go to church. And it was pretty unusual for a primetime TV show to show a lengthy sequence in church. And
especially an animated one.
Yep. Yeah, you didn't see Fred Flintstone over the first Episcopalian.
And these scenes were laid out by Brett Holland.
One hidden fact about the Simpsons staff is it has a lot of football fans, and it sort of worked its way into many episodes, like this one, Lisa the Greek, to name two.
It's complete. Touchdown!
All right!
Oh, Doctor, we got a barn burner here. This could be the most remarkable comeback since Lazarus rose from the dead.
A lot of the times that we have sounds coming from Homer, like we just saw with his mouth open, they're actually done after the color comes back, when Dan Castellaneta can see the picture and record his voice to it.
What? Rich, I don't know if it's too late to fix, but Homer looks terrible.
I know, and you can't see Maggie.
He's got this sort of a figure eight shaped head. Ah, that's better, thanks.
You're welcome.
Homer?
No, we...
The Simpsons car has a dent that kind of comes and goes. The idea being it's a really bad old car.
Maybe.
It's because of your irreverent attitude that Bart thinks he can sneak headphones into Sunday.
I just saw this idea in a commercial where they had a minister listening to headphones.
Mm-hmm.
While he was trying
I
to
saw
to
that
sermon.
Too, and it reminded me exactly of this episode.
I'm sorry, but the
and I think she reappeared in another episode about the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Lisa, Homer versus Lisa
yeah.
and the Eighth Commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have a name?
What was her name, Mrs. No, she didn't. Be amputated.
Will it be waiting for you in heaven? For the last time, Bart. Yes.
I always like the stained glass in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the church design, the interior changed some in the second season. So yeah, I think this is Lovejoy's original. I think this is when he first appeared. They're in their own house worshiping a false idol. And that's a camera move that we do a lot with pushing in and pegging out a foreground object. Trying to create the illusion of depth.
Looks great.
This Harry Shearer voice.
Did you buy it?
Really good.
The football announcer is a voice loosely based on Keith Jackson, the ABC announcer.
I remember when we animated this, we wanted Lovejoy's mouth movements to be different from what was coming over the radio, but they animated it right to the announcer, but everyone seemed to think it was pretty funny that it was syncing up exactly.
Yeah, I was about to comment what a great joke that is. It's more often than you'd want to admit, there's a lot of accidents turning
yeah,
into very funny things.
And there's a twister mouth that on Bart that was done a few times in the first season.
I remember one snuck in very late, like in third season. They were phased out in the first season, and then I think Wes Archer snuck one in third year.
Oh, you know Wes. Always the rebel.
And it was the kind of thing, I got calls about it. People would say, what happened there? What was that about? Congregation.
And today's sermon was one you should have really listened to.
What was it about?
Gambling.
Oh.
Those repeat backgrounds, they're a godsend.
No. Look, I don't want to talk about this anymore in front of the kids. Lisa, Bart, what did you two learn in Sunday school
And that's
today?
Back to when, on the backgrounds, they used to use colored paper for, like, sidewalks and streets. You can see the texture in the paper. It wasn't until second season that it was all just a painted cell.
Really smart ones who live among us, who roller skate and smoke cigars.
Cool, man. Space Mutants, that's another runner that just sort of dropped out of circulation in the show.
What was that?
Just that when we went to see a horror movie, it'd be the Space Mutants.
Oh, right, yeah.
Later, we'd have people go there to make out.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dad, can I have $5?
I hope you're not planning to see a certain movie starring certain space mutants that a certain mother didn't want you to see.
Perish the thought.
Here you go, son.
Some Simpsons generic money. The guy who laid this out spent weeks on it, that undressing and walking scene.
Very unusual to see a naked rear end.
Yeah.
Boy or otherwise.
And there's the magic tree that can be anywhere in the Simpsons yard. You know.
There they are.
Yeah.
I remember, Al can help me on this, because it was four of us writing it, which is pretty unusual for a TV script, four people pitching in. And I remember it being a lot of fun, and it went very fast, like 3 days.
It was an act a day, yeah.
And I would say we spent a disproportionate amount of time just naming these three characters, Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney. I don't even... And
Jimbo's named after Jim Brooks.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was pretty easy to get.
And after 12 years, I don't know which is Dolph and which is Kearney.
I think Dolph.
Kearney is the bald guy.
Dolph is, yeah, the one with the hair over one eye.
But the voices switch. I think Jimbo. Jimbo in this was voiced by Tress McNeil, but I think it switched to Pamela Hayden as the series progressed. Now, Kearney's always been
Nancy. Those are the honest people waiting in line to get into the theater.
Yeah, most people by now know all the kids' voices are done by women, but by grown women. But
what?
It's funny that the teenagers are also grown women. Teenage boys.
This is where the ad for Drexel's class would be inserted.
Not human.
I wrote this.
Let's get romantic.
spent weeks on this.
You little sneaks, you're coming with me.
So we tried to paint this kind of faded so it looked like a bad print of a movie.
Yeah, it's funny, the Space Mutants, which again, we played as new movies, and everything about them are just sort of 50s sci-fi movies. It's...
What's funny is the voice of the teenage girl is Nancy Cartwright. So it shows the range. Three jumbo cherry squishies and one. Here's the first appearance of Apu, and the funny story is that when we were writing it, we thought, well, we really shouldn't make him ethnic. It might offend some people. And when we had the table read, Hank Azaria, who plays Apu, gave the guy the accent, and it got such a huge laugh that, of course, we made him what turned out to be Pakistani. He's named Apu after the Satyajit Ray film trilogy, and his last name, Nahasapima Petalan, was a friend of one of the writers, Jeff Martin, in high school.
So five-finger discount, four-finger characters, but...
Yeah, I think we had a debate about that, and we just thought, well, use the expression people are familiar with. But that guy
founded Springfield. I like the angles on this sequence. If it weren't for him, all the you didn't see around, you know, the early 90s and TV animation, you know, the camera, you know, anywhere else but just kind of at eye level in most shows. Watch me hit him right proscenium staging, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of great child's point of view shots.
Wow, that's great stuff here.
And this character really took off, Mr. Dandy.
Candy Mouse Dandy.
That was probably his swan song.
The only character more surly than Mo.
Yeah, they do. Like, that one over there looks just like a cherry bomb.
And this I tried to stage as tranquil and pastoral as possible. It's kind of based a little bit on the Peanuts strip with Charlie Brown and Linus and Lucy looking at clouds. Or some of those characters, whoever was looking at clouds.
Oh, yeah. I wish someone really would cut his ugly old head off.
You do?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Sure would cheese everybody off.
But guys, come on. Don't you remember history class? Jebediah once killed a bear with his bare hands.
Oh, sorry.
We forgot how much you love Jebediah Springfield.
Yeah, he's your boyfriend.
Yeah. Come on, guys, knock it off.
Beat it, Simpson. Man, I thought you were cool.
You didn't really hear teenage kids talk a lot like this in sitcoms at that time, or now. But I think it is actually the way teenage boys really talk. Mm.
Beat it, Simpson.
I'm kind of proud of this little sequence because it wasn't in the original script, and I kind of pitched it in the board as it seemed like Bart needed a moment to kind of get the idea to cut the head off. And Mike and Al liked it, and they told me never to do that again.
Now I've seen everything. Black, marbleized with a liquid center.
In the beginning of the series, bowling was really Homer's favorite passion, and he does bowl still, but it's kind of dropped out somewhat.
Boy, what's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering.
This was a Sam Simon joke I always thought was really funny, where Bart Homer asks if he's planning on killing anybody and then repeats the question, clearly suspecting Bart might be.
I remember after the show aired, my dad called me up and asked me if the father was based on him. Reassured him it wasn't. So.
People thought it was a little like my dad, too.
My kids
think
Homer
it's based on me.
But I'm not like Bart. I'm much more like Lisa. This is Bart's first ninja costume. Which, of course, all 10-year-old boys
in this
have.
One.
Yep.
Good sound effect.
No, the sound in this one was terrific. I think they did a great job.
The score too, Richard Gibbs.
That was a pretty complicated scene to lay out.
I think in reality, a boy hacksawing through a bronze statue would take more than a couple minutes.
I could listen to that for hours.
What have I done?
Did they freak at all at your boards and your layout of this thing? Because it seems far and away much more ambitious than the other shows of the season. With all the crazy angles and pans and that kind of thing.
It was always kind of my intention to try and play it as much like live action, with, you know, freeing up the camera, not just keeping it, you know, at eye level and just flat shots and stuff. So, they were a little concerned that it was, you know.
We really gave you a tough road to hoe with the crowds, too. Just how many people were in these background scenes. That cue is a little bit of a Godfather parody with the horse's head in the bed. I think a joke we've done about 8 times over the course of the series. That's Chief Wiggum, I believe, his first appearance.
No, I think he was in an earlier show. I can't remember which one it was, but
you can design change. Certainly different.
Yeah, the design.
He's become much more Edward G. Robinson. Mm-hmm. He's aged a little, but the pig nose, the very subtle pig nose on the cop has always been there.
I think in Moaning Lisa, didn't he show the picture of El Barto, the graffiti artist?
That would be Homer's Odyssey.
Or Homer's Odyssey, that's right.
Well, like all our characters, Wiggum has had IQ drift downward over the course of the series.
I love that pose of Homer. Just like Jebediah when he killed that bear.
It's so awful. Okay, come on. I remember at the table read, we knew we had a little problem because when we were making these jokes about how awful it was, the head was cut off. Nobody was really laughing because it didn't really move the audience as much as it did the people of the town.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Hell in a handbasket.
I believe it said Springfield Retirement Home, right? Which later became Castle.
Right.
In the second season.
After he invested the money in it.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what's up? Just saying, we'd love to meet the guy who cut off the head of that statue.
Yeah, we wish he were here right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'd break every bone in his stupid little body.
Yeah, that's right, man. Limb by limb.
Yeah.
What? But yesterday, didn't you say it would be cool to cut off the head and really cheese everybody off?
Yeah, I was just clown.
People love that line.
People repeat that to me all the time.
But I would never cut the head off of a guy who iced a bear with his bare hands. So what's in the bag, Bart?
This is where it gets weird.
Yeah, this again, I think, I remember building towards this. I thought this would be so funny, the Telltale Heart kind of parody, and I don't think it worked one bit at the read-throughs. I think it plays fine, but it did not get a laugh out of anyone.
Partly it's helped here by the audio effect that makes it more ghostly. Mm-hmm. I think it just didn't quite work when you just heard the voice.
You're not really talking to me. You're just my overactive imagination.
Where am I?
Shut up. I wanted them to like me.
You don't see Burns and Moe share a scene too very much.
No, I can't.
There, Mr. Burns. I believe this was the first episode where Smithers' affection for Burns
especially at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, Bart, where are you going?
It was something, I don't know at what point, but around the middle of the season, Sam Simon, I think, just said, we should make Smithers gay. And he said, don't make a big deal out of it. It was all just something to keep in the back of our heads, and it was very subtle, but people picked up on it so fast.
That's Sideshow Bob's first appearance, of course, looking nothing like he did.
Also, he didn't say anything. The idea was he always played a slide whistle, and the joke is that when you saw him talk, it finally was Kelsey Grammer with this really erudite voice.
We tried at the last second to get the new design animated for this show, but they didn't have time overseas to do it.
Betty's made a mistake.
Yeah, well, I'm running a little short on courage right now.
Anyway, think about it.
And I remember the scene kind of continued that Lisa actually came out during Bart's kind of moment of indecision, and she kind of helped push him towards telling Marge and Homer about the head. That's
B-A-R-E, hands. Now we would probably put that dramatization in post. We'd see it with an audio, a video effect.
Mom, Dad.
I knew it all.
I always liked that shot with just the hands running through in the foreground.
Because I wanted some really bad kids to like me. Somehow I got the idea that being popular was the most important thing in the world.
Where did you get a ridiculous idea like that?
So it's I think it's turns in the character like that, like on Homer's face, that people really related to the characters well, as opposed to animation from around this time that was just pretty flat and not much acting to it.
I was just thinking today that Homer would not recognize his own words when they were thrown back.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to do that turn.
Pretty decent if you give them half.
Look, there it is. The head.
I think this is the first time we did a mob that was made up of our supporting characters. Usually the mobs were just kind of generic people, but
I think it's the first time we had enough supporting characters to constitute a mob. But
it's
there were more riots
that we did
and fires in this town than any city but L.A.
This
young Sunday school
student as he stands on the whole flashback technique, what's funny, I'm not sure who proposed it, but if you watch old Dick Van Dyke episodes, for no reason, I would say 70% of them are told in flashback.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like this, where they're told like an hour after the action takes place and then done as a flashback. I think it was just an older technique in TV, and I don't know what it ever adds to things.
And that was added at the last minute, them passing through the crowd. And from that angle, it was hard to make them look as if they were standing on the ground.
No, it looks a little like a green screen.
There's a large amount of fiddling that went on in the first season, you know, cutting up bits of animation to make new scenes. And even the shows would be edited and changed between the first run and the rerun. And on the very early internet, people would post, hey, I saw four differences here.
I think there was actually a different line at the end when they walked by. Or there was a version where they didn't walk by when it originally aired.
I think it didn't when they originally aired. I think it's possible.
Yeah.
We used to do by just reusing animation and looping the lines differently. We now just get new animation for it now that the budget for the show
is raised. I do miss the line that used to be there. When Bart jumped into Homer's arms and Homer said, good going, son. I can't wait to get home and start punishing you.